Man, sometimes, like that album right there, Wings, Wings at the Speed of Sound, you forget how great something was. Just like that, right there, man. Let Him In by Wings. All right. During an investigation, check this out, of a haunted theater in Biddeford, Maine, a group of paranormal researchers believe that they have photographed a legendary ghost said to reside there. Now, the organization known as the EVP Paranormal of Maine captured this crazy image back in December at the historic Biddeford City Theater, which was built back in the late 1800s. Now, like most theaters, and especially something from the late 1800s, it's all haunted. It's all good. They've captured something. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Just go to coasttocoastam.com, go to the news section, and check it out. All right, our guest tonight, Damon T. Berry. He's going pole to pole. We've got a rack full of phones. Your phone calls with Damon T. Berry are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Damon T. Berry, and his film series, The Knowledge of the Forever Time, is easy to get to. It is free. Just click on his name over at Coast to Coast, and it'll take you straight to his YouTube channel. Now, when you get there, it's very simple. You start off with invitation number one. All right, Damon, are you ready to continue on down these phone lines?
Sure, sure.
All right, let's do this. Let's go to, who's up next? Let's go to William in Northern California, west of the Rockies. William, you're up next.
Hello, Jimmy. Hi, Damon.
How are you?
Wonderful. I have a couple of questions, and I will take my answer off the air so I don't tie up the lines because I know you have a lot of people waiting. Okay, I have two questions. The first one, where do you think the Black Knight satellite came from, and or who do you think sent it into orbit around our solar system? And number two, when you were talking earlier, you mentioned a lot of locations that have been around for 10 to 13,000 years. I'm really curious why you didn't mention Tiwanaku and if you have any idea about the true age of Tiwanaku. And I will take my answers off the air. Thank you, Damon.
There you go. Two great questions there, William. Okay, so Damon, do you have any ideas where the Black Knight satellite came from?
The one thing I can tell you of the Black Knight satellite, it is even older than 13,000 years ago. The Black Knight satellite, judging from the cave painters, we have cave paintings that are 60,000 years old that show us actually a view of the cosmos. It shows us a view of the Earth that cannot be without a satellite. So the whole understanding of the Black Knight satellite is it's telling us an even longer story than we can imagine. And there's something else that I'd like to say, because I did catch a little bit of the interview with David Wilcock, and he has a brilliant story about Antarctica. The one thing that I would like to add to his story, if he doesn't mind, the one thing that I'd like to add to the story is this satellite that orbits our world has been orbiting our world for 50, 60,000 years. But what's really interesting about this satellite, it normally orbits in one particular orbit, and that's not east to west. It's polar. It always goes over the cold regions of our Earth, and that's primarily where it always is, over the Antarctic, North Pole and South Pole. That's where it always goes. And what's important about that is a satellite only does one thing. It communicates.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something in the colder regions of our Earth that is actually communicating with that satellite. So,
yeah, that's an important, yeah, exactly, because if it was around the equator, then there is no communication to the North and South poles.
Exactly.
It's a very important point. And I want to go to William's second question when it comes to Tiwanaku, one of the most fascinating places in the world. There's no question about it, with a lot of history that goes back millennia. It's very old. Do you have a meaning for that? And I want to go a little more direct. Which is the Gate of the Sun, I think, is one of the most fascinating megalithic structures on planet Earth. It rates up there with anything. Do you have a meaning for Tiwanaku and why it was here?
Yes, I do. But you're going to ruin my next episode if I tell you.
you know what? That's the third time you've said that to me in a year.
Yeah, and you always get me to do it.
Yeah, and the episode's going to be, it'll be just fine. Okay.
It's an entryway. It's the opening. If you look at Tiwanaku, there's a figure that is above a door. The figure that is above a door represents the sun. The figure that he also has is two things in each hand. One of them is a tool for flight. The other is a tool for ocean or travel on waters. The thing that is sitting above the sun is because it's showing you that it is a doorway. And that's what's important about the sun structure. There's also these strange carvings that are around the sun, these strange little nodules all the way around it.
That's right.
They're very similar to, if you've ever seen a semiconductor, if you've ever looked at a semiconductor up close.
It's exactly what it looks like.
It's exactly what it is. And right. I think what it's showing you is, it is how to power a flight vehicle and an ocean vehicle in order to reach this destination. Because even the Nazca lines, it'll show you this great door. It'll show you this, what we think is an alien, because it has a big head and these big round eyes. But those are actually two black holes. The doorway is actually the sun, and it's the exact same thing in Tiwanaku. The one thing about all these ancient things, what I was telling you earlier, they're all connected. And I know history has been telling us that the land was separated by oceans. There was no communication between peoples back in 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. It's not true, because this knowledge is all over the world, and it says the same thing.
Yeah, Tiwanaku just blows my mind.
Yes.
That it is just one of the most fascinating, you know, Bolivia, Peru, that part of the world is, it freaks me out. And this is the other part of it, though, Damon, that I think is the most fascinating, that most people don't wrap their minds around. Back when these were allegedly, even if you go with historians from today, where they say that these are 500 years old or 1,000 years old, 1,000 years ago, in Peru, they had no written language, right? So there's no plans for that. They didn't draw anything out. There was no written communication. Yet, this is the most sophisticated design work and stonework anywhere on the planet.
Exactly.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable, but it should lead everyone who has a question to not trust what's written. What someone's telling you. There's more to the story. The free thinker has to be free to think outside of what they're being told. And one of us, each one of us is a puzzle, is a part of the puzzle. One of us will unlock something else that we don't know.
Yep. You're exactly right. And that's how I introduced this show with you tonight. You have to listen to everybody. And every time I listen to somebody and I think I'm getting close and the puzzle is getting filled in, then somebody like you comes along and I'm right back to where I started. All right. let's go to George in Phoenix, Arizona. George, you're up next on Coast.
Yes. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, George. Say hi to Damon.
Hello, Damon.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I love your research that you've done and what you have come up with. But my only question is, should I pack my bag now? So you said, once we all know, we all have the knowledge, it'd be time for us to disappear. So I have to do my cave painting, the whole coast to coast responsible for me knowing it all.
Right.
wait for myself to disappear.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're not, George, let me ask you this, and it's a great question. But let me ask you this, George. With Damon's message, are you bummed or are you happy that this is out there? I mean, we need to know and we need to hear from the past.
I can't wait till they take us away, believe me.
Okay.
That'll straighten this world right out.
Thank you so much, George. Have a great 2017, my friend.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See, and that's back to my point, Damon. It's not doom and gloom. It's just not. It may feel that way on the surface.
Exactly. Let me say one thing, and this is to answer the religious question as well as the doom and gloom, because those two seem to be together all the time. And the reason that it is not doom and gloom is because we have an opportunity to change. We have an opportunity to change our world. but it's going to require us to do something, and that's what most of us don't want to do. We love a future where we don't have to change. We love a future that works out the way it's supposed to without us changing anything. And doom and gloom isn't because we're telling you what's on the horizon. That's not doom and gloom. Doom and gloom is giving you the knowledge, giving you the wisdom to make the proper choice. Because if you care about someone, you tell them of the dangers. I mean, what parent is going to let their six-year-old girl walk to school 2 miles by herself?
Bingo.
You alert her of the possible danger because you love her. No one is going to let your daughter take off from work on a fast food restaurant at 11 o'clock and walk home 2 miles in the dark by herself.
Exactly.
Alert her of the danger.
That's right.
So what we're doing is telling you what is on the horizon so that we change. And the one thing that religion will tell you the same thing. Religion, if you read religion, religious works, God will say, my people have the numbers like the sand of the sea, but only a few of you will be saved. It also says that in the end, my people will perish. My people will die, not for lack of faith, not for lack of belief, but for lack of knowledge. God says that.
Wow.
So the whole purpose is for us to learn, to understand the knowledge, to receive the knowledge, and not stick our heads in the sand and say, get it away from me. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Proverbs 29.
Let's go to Linda, Great White North in Ontario, Canada. Linda, say hi to Damon.
Hi, Damon. Hi, Jimmy. Oh, hi. What a night, believe me.
Great night.
No, it's been exciting.
Yes, great night.
Oh, God, Damon, I don't know where to start. Begin with you. First of all, what Barbara said, if she's right on in telling the truth about, you know, raising the dead and healing the sick,
yes.
God bless her, because that's what's coming. Yeah. That's what we want. And Damon, you said this is the worst, you know, of the generation with the earth and the way we are. What do you think when they pulled the Operation Paperclip, those Nazi scientists over in America, knowing that they were demons and, you know, in flesh cloaking? And
I'm not
ever since then,
that,
you know, the pit of hell have been open, and the spiritual people have been decayed more and more, and you can see it.
Yeah, interesting.
You know what I'm talking about, Damon?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that.
And Linda, absolutely. Thank you for the phone call. Operation Paperclip, Damon, was when we gave special clearances to the German scientists that were successful in the rocket program and other things as well. There's atomic stuff and things that were going on. And so we allowed them to come over here and ignored, you know, things that could have been in their past, brought them into the country so we could make sure that the Soviets didn't get them. It was the bottom line.
Got it.
And we had to build up our space program. So that's what she was referring to there.
Got it.
But, you know, it's out of your it's out of your research circle. Let's go to Tom in Sacramento. Tom, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Long-time listener. I just have two questions for Mr. Barry.
Okay.
I'll take my answer off the air. You were talking about stargates in the sun, and I was just curious what your take is on this big black gash that's in the sun right now. And the other was, what's your take on the planet Nibiru?
Nibiru. All right, Tom.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Tom, thank you so much. I like what Tom is asking there, and you know why. So I'll just hand it straight to you, Damon.
Well, the answer to the sun and the coronal holes that are showing up in the sun, those answers are found on invitation number 5. And there is a correlation between the coronal holes that exist on the sun because they are related to images and places and temples that are here on the earth. And this started happening that we just noticed in the last couple of years. We've seen that square structures, pyramidal structures, and these are all coronal holes that are created to look like certain objects that we have here on Earth. And all of these objects that have these strange markings are actually objects that are called pyramids of the sun. So, and I don't want to give too much away, but I would ask you to go and watch Knowledge of the Forever Time number 5, and it'll answer all of those questions. But there is a correlation between these large coronal holes. They usually show up right around two times of the year that were really important to the ancients, and that was near the summer solstice and the winter solstice. And these times indicate that the Stargate is open.
And you present it in, well, it's a fun way too as well. Everybody just go enjoy it. There's something there. The last time that Damon was on my show and we were starting to talk about this directly, I thought it was such an important turning point in the film series. And I wanted Damon just to go there. And he, you know what? He's right. Just go watch the film. It's much better than Damon just sitting here giving it away.
I do it a disservice.
Totally.
The proper presentation, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it takes a long time. So just go and watch the film. So that's invitation number 5. Okay, Nibiru. Okay, let's just go directly at this. Was Sitchin right?
I don't venture into areas where I haven't done research. I've heard a lot of different things about Nibiru. I have not done research on it, so I wouldn't want to say anything that conflicts with anything that anyone else has out there, because I have not done enough research on that.
All right, fair enough. Let me see here. We've got enough time for one more quick call before the bottom of the hour, so let's go ahead and do that. Let's go. Kurt, when our phone system went down, it was you that was the victim. So welcome back to Coast. Really quick, let's finish up with what you were asking, okay. Damon.
Okay, thank you for having me again. First off, something came to my head. Billy Thorpe nailed it right on the head with the Children of the Sun, I guess, now, didn't he?
Oh, wow. Well played, my friend.
Okay, my question was if he has got research interest in the crystal skulls and any relativity into what he's talking about.
Kurt, thank you. Yeah, have a great 2017, and we'll get it right now. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
Kurt, okay, there you go. Right back to the crystal skulls, and let's hope the phone system doesn't melt. We have 60 seconds.
Well, the crystal skull is just another form of explaining that there was high technology. I don't go any further than understanding that it took something of great design and great intelligence and technology to create it. And because of that, it confirms the idea and the knowledge that we're not the first to do this. We're not the first to be these technological peoples. We're not the first to go into space. We're not the first to have computerized mechanisms. So that's as far as I've gone with the crystal skull. I've seen several programs on it, and I don't want to spend the rest of the time saying what they've said that you've already seen on some of these programs and in articles. But I do believe in it, and I think the evidence is clear. It shows us that it was created with something with specialized tools.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to head towards a break right here. And I'll say this about crystals. 5 years ago, we had none at the house. Our house now is loaded with crystals, and I feel the power. Our guest tonight, Damon T. Berry. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your phone calls next. All right. Welcome back. Now, light up Twitter. Whoever can tell me the name of what you just listened to, the name of that song, I'll give you credit when I roll out of here. All right, what is the name of that song? And if you've enjoyed this weekend here at Coast to Coast, what I do with the guest and how I just kind of wing it, check out my show. It's called Fade to Black. Just click on my name right there, Coast to Coast AM. It'll take you straight to my site. Everything is there. It's super cool. There's lots of things going on. But I just want to remind you that we are live 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's live right before George and Coast to Coast starts. Right? We wrap, George starts. So that gives you 7 straight hours of great paranormal conspiracy talk radio. Second, everything we do is free. That's it. Just come, hang out, listen, chat rooms, everything is free. Third, just like Coast, my standards are very, very high. We only have the very best and brightest anywhere. That's it. Fade to black, click, and do it. Let's get out of here. Damon T. Barry, your phone calls late in the fourth quarter. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Rolling into Sunday morning, and Damon T. Barry did it with us, poll to poll. So, Damon, let's keep this going. Let's get as many in as we can before we wrap the show. Let's go east of the Rockies. Ralph in Clifton Park, New York. You're up next, Ralph.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm looking at pitcher number one, and I'm struck by it. If you look at the pitcher upside down, it sort of looks like the Sphinx, and then there's some earth, and then a tunnel, which leads to, which could be a stargate. It even looks like it's surrounded by a cave.
Yeah, very interesting. I'll have to do that, Ralph, and look at it upside down. Damon, have you ever looked at...
I have not.
I know, right?
That's right. And once you see it, you can't not see it.
Okay. Hey, Ralph.
Can I give you credit for one thing, Ralph?
Sure.
Free thinker.
Yeah, bingo, Damon. Hey, Ralph, have a great rest of 2017, my friend. Thank you so much.
You too.
That's what I'm talking about, Damon. It looks like our mission is starting to complete itself, right? Let's go to first-time caller, Jim, in Idaho. Jim, you're up next on Coast. Real quick, say hi to Damon. What have you got?
Well, hello. I've been listening off and on for just 6 months or so, and quite often... they mentioned the Giants that apparently came to Earth. Can you run by me again where they fit in this whole panorama?
Absolutely, Jim. Damon, I'm just going to hand that straight to you. Giants throughout history.
There are several different accounts of Giants in our world, and the possibility of them being true is a reality. The reason that we know this is because we know that 70,000 years ago, a million years ago, everything was bigger. An elephant is a newer version of what a dinosaur used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
A dinosaur was probably 40 times as big.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that we know through history, if we look at the ancient relics, they always show dinosaurs and they show humans at the same time. So because there was more oxygen in our world back a million years ago, 2 million years ago, 3 million years ago, everything was bigger. But because oxygen has left our world and there's more nitrogen, we have less oxygen, which makes everything smaller, which means there's a strong possibility. And I do believe that there were giant individuals that lived on this earth.
Yeah. And gravity yeah. was different back then. And we
everything
have to
was different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was
different. Absolutely. All right. Let's go to Valerie. Let's go way out east to Delaware. Valerie, you're up next on Coast. Say hi to Damon.
Hey, good morning, Damon and Jimmy. Well, one of my questions you guys already answered was the type of orbit of Black Knight, but I was wondering what the dimensions of Black Knight was and if there's been an attempt to capture it and bring it in via shuttle.
There you go. Thank you for the phone call, Valerie. What are the dimensions of the Black Knight, and do you think that we've tried to capture that thing?
That is the thing that we don't know. It is the most elusive thing that we've ever seen because it has the ability to appear and then disappear. It has the ability to change orbits, and now that it was easier to catch when we had the opportunity, was right between 1920 and 1970. But now it's impossible. Why? Because we have thousands of satellites in the sky now, thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
So to identify this one satellite out of all the thousands, that's going to create a problem for us. But our chance to catch it, which we've been trying to do, to photograph it and get a proper dimension, we still haven't done that to this day.
Yeah, and to be clear, when there were no satellites, right, that's when it was easy to spot. And
exactly.
spot it we did. We photographed it.
Yeah,
things were published.
It's in newspapers everywhere.
Absolutely.
For someone to tell you that it doesn't exist when you have all of these newspapers showing you that it has and it's published reports, it's no room for debate.
It changed directions. Right?
Yes.
That's
intelligent control.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's see here. Let's go out west. We'll go east, west, east, west. Let's go west. Suzanne, Santa Rosa, California. You're up next on Coast.
Hi.
Hi, Suzanne. Quickly, what have you got for Damon?
I once saw a spacecraft that looked like an eye, very much like this on the back of a dollar bill, you know, over the pyramids. And I was wondering if, in fact, that what you suppose that does have something to do with the pyramids.
Interesting, Damon.
Very good question.
Yes.
Very well could. I mean, I would not discount anything, because the one thing that we're learning about Egypt, the pyramids, there is a connection between them and the stars. So I wouldn't doubt it one bit.
Let's go to Aaron in South Dakota, not North Dakota. Aaron in South Dakota. You're up next on Coast.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. My question was, have you heard about sacred geometry and the Merkaba and like stars and all that stuff?
Okay, thank you for the phone call, Aaron. Merkaba, which is a very unique geometric formation. What do you think about that combined with sacred geometry in some of the symbolism?
No, I don't know much about that. I have read some things on it, not enough to speak on it in that detail. The one thing that I have to clarify, my mission is to understand what the ancients are saying in these stones, in these writings, in these hieroglyphs. My message is that. So I'm not, as I said in the beginning, I try not to get into other people's field of work. I try to stick with what I'm trying to understand as a perfection.
Right.
And then once I do that, then I'm okay. But I don't go to all these other things and learn. As a matter of fact, people get angry when I answer the question to Flat Earth. And I've just learned maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, right.
Stay out of it.
Yeah, man. Flat Earth. I'll tell you what. One of the things that I find most fascinating with taking phone calls and interfacing directly with Twitter, which I do, and I run in real time, as you know, Damon, and taking phone calls, is that the audience is very, very smart. And yep. And it's so diverse. So I get a wide range, like you just, you know, like tonight. And yep. Merkaba or whatever the subject is, but they know a lot. Everybody wants answers. And that's what's fascinating.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
One thing. These individuals who know these things, who have these interests in these things, if they will let go of what someone's telling the limit is to understanding it, that individual can leap ahead of all the rest of us and enlighten all the rest of us to what they've learned.
That's exactly right.
That's really the key, you know? So if you can let go of what this guy told you before, this guy in a book, and then look at it from your own eyes, there's something new to see, because each of us carries a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, that's what I do. I stand here when I take phone calls, or with a guest too as well. I've got a pen. I am writing things down all the time.
I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
It's so much fun. All right, let's go out east. Let's go to John in Tampa, Florida. You up next, John.
Hey, Jimmy and Damian. How are you doing?
We're doing good, John. What have you got real quick? We're at the end of the show.
All right, continuing the spirit of free thinking here, I'd just like to say that I know there's many elements of truth to the assertions and theories espoused. But I'd like to take issue with one that was put forth that I have specific knowledge on as well. And continuing that free thinking, I'd like to say 300 million years ago, we had the Carboniferous period where terrestrial life already existed, right? So if we have that, and we know that if all 7.5 billion people on this planet walk outside with a 12-ounce can of CFC and release CFCs into the atmosphere, that still doesn't touch what a volcano eruption can do. We have Mars warming. We have Pluto warming. That would be like more galactic warming and maybe some solar elements to this. So why is man-made global warming the biggest threat to humanity?
Well, I've dealt with this on this program many, many times, John. And I'll say this again. I don't know. I don't know if it's man-made. I don't know if it's natural. I don't think anybody has these answers. I think both sides of the fence fidget with the numbers to fit their agenda and their message.
Absolutely.
But we have the sun right there. That's number one. Number two, right now, I don't know if you know this, Damon, but I'm going to share this with you. right now, today, John, right now, in Africa, they have found a peat bog swamp that is larger than the state of Maine. In Africa, they didn't know about it. And if anything happens to that, I forget the exact number, but it's crazy. It's like 100 times our carbon emissions that we put out in a year will happen in a day. That's it. It's over.
Technically more trees on this planet now than there were.
Over. John, over. Over. Done. Done.
Yep.
Okay? So there you go. I don't know these answers. Could it be natural? Could it not? You know, if we went in and messed with this peat bog at all, started some deforestation and destabilized what was going on there, and the release of what is there, done. It's
yeah,
just
been warming since the last ice age.
There you go. Thank you for the phone call, John, and have a great, safe 2017. Yeah, you too, man. Not a problem. Let's go. Oh, Glasgow, Montana sounds good to me. Mike, you're up next.
Good evening, gentlemen. Quick question. I was wondering if you come across any information about the Air Force's X-37B or C projects and that they're connected to the satellite. Maybe a way to sense it first and then send in a team, the C version of the six-man shuttle, about 3/8 the size of the original.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike, and thank you for the phone call. Damon, do you know anything about the X-37B? I do.
Yes, yes. That's the Air Force's plane. And the thing that's interesting about that is it was in orbit for a year, almost a year, just flying around there. Nobody knew about it. The thing that makes me interested in it is because it may not be equal to it, but there's something else. The one thing that we know about this whole Stargate idea, the reason that these UFOs make these same formations all over the world, they are communicating with someone here on Earth. A country, a government, someone is making communication, because what it is an interception of a message that's probably not sent to us. The thing that makes me interested about the X-37B, it has more heat tiles than the shuttle. It has a lot more heat tiles than the shuttle did, which means it's prepared for heat in a different way than the shuttle is. And the thing that makes me interested in it is because the Stargate thing has something to do with the sun. The sun near the summer solstice opens a door. And if you go online, you'll see it. It's just a big square hole. It's
mm-hmm.
open.
Mm-hmm.
In Area 51, if you go on and look at the Hangar 6 in Area 51, they created this large circular structure in Area 51, Hangar 6. And when they first designed it, it was a big giant circle, and it had a little door in the middle of it with little markings for you to enter. The next time they built it, they built a runway, like a plane runway, into this large circle where a sun could land or enter. Now when you look at this structure, it has little indentions going on the outside, little spokes to indicate that it is a sun object. So the thing that gets me excited about the X-37B means that these signals that they're sending is obviously the Americans have picked up on it, and they're creating something that we need more than anything else in space. We need to stop making space machines. We need to stop making space shuttles. We need to start creating starships. That's what we need, starships, not spaceships. A spaceship is made to set into the orbit, to fly to a certain planet, and be out into space. We don't need that. We need a starship. A starship is a spaceship that is equipped to endure high-intensity heat. Heat tiles all over to endure unbelievable heat, because a starship is made for one purpose, to enter a star. Once you can enter a star, you can travel anywhere in the cosmos. So that's what this whole thing is about. And that's what we're seeing in Area 51. And I'm hoping that the X-37B is the first prototype to creating a starship.
It is certainly more durable, right, in its appearance. Right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
It is.
And it just passed, I think it was yesterday or the day before, Damon, 600 days in orbit. And 600, this is its fourth mission. Now, what are you doing up there for 2 years? What are you doing for 2 years?
Exactly.
It's one of the most fascinating. And it's Air Force. Let's not forget that. This isn't Greenpeace, right? This is the Air Force.
Exactly.
For 2 years. And it's not, the Air Force wants to call it unmanned and uncrewed. And I'm hip to that. I get it. But it's not small. This is still a substantial size craft.
There's something in it.
Yeah, there's something in it.
Telling us about it.
Exactly right.
And there's something else. The one thing when they were talking about this plane, there's something else about the sun that everyone needs to know, and that is that there is an opening, and it needs a vehicle that can withstand high heat in order to get close to it. Now, the coronal hole is supposed to be cool enough for a plane to enter, and in Area 51, the hangar, the first thing they made was a square in this big circle that looks like the sun. Next thing they made was a runway for a plane to enter. Next thing they made was these big spokes going around it. It's clear that there is a communication that's going on between the United States and these UFO objects that we see in the sky.
Damon, I want to thank you right now, my friend. Fascinating conversation tonight. I expected this. I know that the entire Coast audience totally enjoyed it. Again, your YouTube channel is Damon T. Berry. The links are over at Coast to Coast. Really quick, is there any other way that anybody could reach out to you?
Yes, you can reach out to me on Facebook, and that's at Damon T. Berry Filmmaker. And before I go, I have some people on Facebook that are posting everything you say on Facebook. So I want to say hi to Nancy Shipsky, Dan Justin, Jeff Nelson, Maggie Johnson, Paula Tigret, and Marcus Parker, and all of the others that I can't get to right now.
Your brother, your sister, any kids you want to get in? Hey, Damon. Thank you so much, man. You are so talented, and our group, our community needs you. Continue rolling that rock uphill, and have a great, safe rest of your day. Thank you so much.
Jimmy, thank you so much, man. It's an honor to be on your show. I do appreciate it. Thank you again.
Damon T. Berry, everybody. Okay, thank you so much, Damon. Now, I had said that anybody that guessed the name of that song, I would say their name. So, Zeke and Spiral Mirror guest Van Halen, Sunday afternoon in the park. Great show tonight, Damon T. Berry. I would like to thank all of the callers who phoned home tonight. And, of course, thank you to Nathan, Donna, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, George, and Tom. It's been a great, great weekend here. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This has been Coast to Coast AM. Go back, Lee Tappy.